Now, accountancy has long been seen as something of an unsexy profession, but...
Malcolm!
What?
That's not fair to accountants everywhere, is it? I know some very, very nice accountants.
You haven't let me finish the sentence yet.
Okay.
Accountancy has long been seen as an unsexy profession, but without it, business and government would fall apart. There you are. It's a global profession, but with several different and not always compatible accounting systems, the global picture is somewhat fractured. Pleased to welcome now to the studio John Wolfgang, who is the chairman of UHY International, a company formerly known in this part of the world as UHY Saxena. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Malcolm.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. Firstly, let's ask you, how many accounting systems are there around the world, and how many are vying to become the global standard?
Well, basically, I think you're focused with, there's many different accounting systems that have been in place around the world, but I think the two that are really vying for material future aspects is really going to be the IFRS and the U.S. GAAP. And what's taking place right now is that two of those systems are really trying to converge into one. It basically will become, hopefully, the IFRS system for the global financial reporting process.
I know that a lot of banks have had struggled, really, to sort of comply with various IAS accounting measures. Is the IAS the same as the IFRS?
Well, the IAS is actually the standard setter for the accounting, okay? The IFRS incorporates the ISB standards, the International Accounting Standards, into the reporting model that's used for reporting on financial statements themselves.
So which of these two, the GAAP or the IFRS, is in the dominant position at the moment?
Well, I think what you're seeing more globally is the IFRS. More of the countries around the world and globally are looking at IFRS as the primary form of reporting. The thing that's been taking place is that each country, as they adopt IFRS, they're changing it a little bit from where it might be set in standards initially, but they'll twist what the accommodations are in a particular country to suit their needs.
Does that not stop it being an international standard? Surely the idea of an international standard is that it is international?
Well, I think you're right, and I think that's where we have to wind up at the end of the day, is that we need to be in a position where that international standard is being followed more closely to what the original standard was at the time it was initiated. And I think that's one of the things that is causing some difficulties, to be able to compare financial statements within countries and operating entities that are the same.
But who's in charge? I mean, is there one body that puts together the standards who can sit there and tell people, do this, don't do that?
Well, the problem, Brandy, right now is the fact that you have the IASB and the FASB, which are the two primary global standard setters in the world, the FASB in the U.S. and the IASB in Europe and the rest of the world, are really trying to work more closely together. And that's been the problem. And until there is a convergence between the two and a commonality in the standards that they're forming, that will be truly get to a global standard.
But how much power do they have? I mean, presumably they can only just hope that people follow their standards. They can't exactly, I don't know, put sanctions on countries that don't.
Well, no. I mean, that would be, that would be each individual country that adopts IFRS in their local reporting marketplace, wherever that might be. It's really the oversight body of a country that says, yes, we're going to use IFRS in a particular way. Adopting the ISB standards.
What, in your opinion, is the real advantage of having a global system and the transferability, if you like, of systems and the ability to read each other's accounts?
Well, I think the ability to really compare the performance of companies in the same sector and the ability to be able to really compare what the same performance is in each location of a particular company that may be doing business in China as well as in the U.S. or in Europe, and being able to compare and understand their performance records in each country on a comparable basis.
Over the last few years, there's obviously been the GAAP, there's been IFRS, there have been other accounting standards vying for position, if you like, and being very competitive. And the one thing about competition in any walk of life, of course, is it keeps the competitors on their toes and constantly looking for better ways to do things. If you take away the competition, if there's one dominant standard through standardization, isn't it probable that the industry won't change or improve as quickly as if there was competition?
Well, I think that it increases the competition by being able to say if one competitor is reporting on one basis and another is reporting on the same basis, being able to understand where that competitive advantage is very helpful to those organizations.
Who makes money out of this?
Is there
somebody who owns the IFRS standards and who rents them out, if you want to take
this? I think the investment community is the one that makes money at the end of the day, because I think you reduce the chances of having poor reporting in a particular environment, and it allows investors and people that are using those financial statements to evaluate them on a better basis to make better investment decisions in the long term.
What I was really referring to there is, I mean, the IFRS, is it owned by somebody? So if I want my company or my country to standardize on IFRS, do I have to pay somebody for the right to do that?
No, you don't. Nobody owns it. I mean, it basically is an investor protection mechanism that's in place in each of our countries to be able to standardize the reporting and reduce the risk of fraud in the financial reporting market.
How much does it cost companies, particularly smaller companies, to adopt this?
I don't think it's that costly. I think the important issue is companies already have systems in place for reporting. It's really adjusting those systems that will accommodate the new reporting processes. I think the bigger cost at the end of the day is going to be the education process of having people help to understand what the new processes are and how they will interface with the reporting standards going forward.
So where are we now in the UAE? I mean, some countries internationally have adopted this. Others are still working on it, have declared their interest. Where do we stand?
I think in the UAE, you just adopted it about a year ago, so you're in the early phases of the adoption process, a year into IFRS.
And how long does it generally take to filter through a business community?
I think you're talking about a period of time of 1 to 3 years in order to have that process actually work through the entirety of the system.
And how does it fit into UAE business culture? I mean, obviously, international standards, you have a lot of international companies here, a lot of multinational companies who will have had to adopt these standards as part of their sort of their HQ practices in different countries, which could mean different types of regulations, and a lot of trading companies based here that will do business with different countries around the world.
Yeah, and that's where the cost comes in. The cost comes in because if you're reporting here on IFRS and on another system in another country at headquarters in certain places, the cost really is the conversion process for any differences within the standards themselves that have to be adjusted in order for the final reporting to take place at the headquarters.
Now, you've recently changed your company name in this region from UHY Saxena to simply UHY. What was the driver for that?
Well, the driver is based on our global strategy plan. What we've been trying to do around the world is to make UHY more of a household name in the international accounting community. And our member firm here in the UAE has seen the benefits of that and have gone from UHY Saxena, which was their name before, just to UHY now, to really dovetail there to our global marketing strategy.
The Saxena bit was actually your local partner's name, wasn't it? And partner's names that appear in firms' names, they're quite sensitive and jealously guarded. I mean, you've only got to ask Pierce, Fenner and Smith, who were dumped by Merrill Lynch, or Librand, who was dumped by Coopers. Did you have any issues or egos to deal with in that regard?
Well, I think you always have that situation that you deal with. But, you know, as I found many times when we've done mergers in the States, you know, we have that sensitivity to names. And most people, and at the end of the day, they ask, are you still going to do my work, and are the fees going to be similar? And once you get past those two elements, the end of the discussion, really.
Finally, I have to ask you, I mean, you know, we're talking into the future about one system or the other becoming dominant. How long are we talking about before one or other system does become the global standard?
I think that depends, Malcolm, on what the U.S. does. And I think, you know, the U.S. has been a little bit slow and troubled with some of the crisis we've had over the last few years, and it's slowed down the process a bit. But I think we're looking at probably 2015 or 2016 before the standards probably converge and become closer together at that point in time. We need to get through the FASB and the ISB need to come together on certain issues that are different right now. And then the SEC, from the U.S. standpoint for listed companies, needs to agree to that process. So I think, you know, the time frame that we're looking at right now probably will take us out to 2015 or 2016. And some of that has to do with, because of comparative financial reporting, you have to really have a year or two of kind of parallel reporting in order to comply with the standards of reporting at that point in time. So,
John Wolfgang, the chairman of UHY International, we do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoyed it.